Shalom, Chanukah Sameach, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio, brought to you by the OU Israel Center, coming to you from the OU Israel Center. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for one of those special Shabbatot, the Three Torah Shabbat, also known as the Three Kugel Shabbat, when we have Parshat Miketz, Rosh Chodesh Tevet, and Shabbat Chanukah. For those who have never heard of a Three Kugel Shabbat, it comes from a custom that some people have of making a kugel for each Sefer Torah that is read on a particular Shabbat. So, a regular Shabbat, one Torah scroll, one kugel. When two Torahs are read from, two kugels. And on those rare occasions when three Torahs are read from, like this Shabbat, three kugels. Now, if you don't know what a kugel is, then you could write in to tt@ou.org and say, "Hey Phil, what's a kugel?" And maybe I'll tell you, and maybe I'll send you some recipes. I joke around about this three kugel business. There's a kugel known as Yerushalmi kugel, Jerusalem kugel. It's thin egg noodles mixed with egg and pepper and brown sugar. And when you do it right, the color is a very dark brown. Now the question, not serious, but the question is, if you make a Lakshin kugel, which is a regular egg noodle kugel, the normal kind, the regular kind, does that count as a different kugel? On the one hand, they're both made of noodles. So you might say, well, you can't really call that two different kugels, especially if you want to be accurate with the Sefer Torah business. On the other hand, and I think this is the hand that wins, one is called noodle kugel, the other has a special name, Yerushalmi kugel. And therefore, they do qualify as two separate kugels. So you can have those two, you could have a potato kugel, and you're all set. Or if you're a little energetic, you could make a challah kugel, or a pretzel and potato chip kugel, like my friends in Detroit used to make. Or maybe they still do. I'm talking about Itzi and Ruchi Weisberg. All right, enough of kugels for the time being, although we might bring them up later. Getting back to Rosh Chodesh Tevet. Rosh Chodesh Tevet always falls during Chanukah, the sixth day of Chanukah. Also known as the sixth candle of Chanukah, is always, always Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes there's a second day Rosh Chodesh, as there is this year, in which case the sixth and the seventh candle are Rosh Chodesh. Again, the sixth candle of Chanukah is always Rosh Chodesh. The seventh candle of Chanukah is sometimes Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes Rosh Chodesh Tevet falls on Shabbat, and sometimes it doesn't. It is not a rare occurrence. We're talking 28.5% of the years. Shabbat, Chanukah will also be Rosh Chodesh. And it creates a lot of fun things to discuss, like the longest Birkat HaMazon, where we have to add Yalla V'Yavo for Rosh Chodesh and Ritzeh for Shabbat and Al Hanisim for Chanukah, not necessarily in that order, actually not in that order, but we'll get there also. Let us do Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir HaMa'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shima V'Koli Tehiyena Aznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmor Yah Adonai Miya Amod. Ki Imacha Haslicha L'Ma'an Tivarei. Ki Viti Adonai Kivata Nafshi V'Lidvaro Hocholti. Nafshi L'Adonai Mi Shomerim L'Boker Shomerim L'Boker. Yachel Yisrael El Adonai Ki Im Adonai HaChesed V'Harbe Imo Fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara vashivya, haomedim ebein bayam uvein bayabasha, Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela le'ora u'mishibud le'geula hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv v'nomar amen. It looks like I'm going to do something this week the same I did last week. I hope the quality will even be better, although I don't think it was bad. And that is to plug in part or all of the shiur that I gave earlier today to the Torah Tidbits folders. There's a lot of material on Chanukah that we need to present. There's the practical side about candle lighting on Friday before Shabbat and candle lighting on Motzoi Shabbat, Saturday night, and the Rosh Chodesh coinciding with Shabbat and with Chanukah. And what do you do when you forget Yalav Yavo and you forget Ritzei and you forget Alan Isim, etc., etc.? I'm saying this now. We'll see if we get to it. But there's also other things to talk about. Concepts of Chanukah. The famous question about 8 days of miracle or really only 7 days of miracle. The question of why eight? And we've spoken of that in the past. I have no doubt that if I go back to the tapes of last year Chanukah and the year before that, we've been doing that for a while, and there's always something new to ponder in that famous question, why are there 8 days for Chanukah? We will try to touch on this and some other things in the next chunk of time. But first, a Chanukah song to put us in the mood, and we'll go back to that album we introduced last week, Hooked on Chanukah by Noam Productions. This one is kind of an unusual track. It's based around Hanerot Halolu, the passage that we say at candle lighting after the brachot and after at least we start lighting the candles. And it's woven together with Yiddish and the flavor, very sweet, but the flavor is very melancholy, and if I'm not mistaken, it's a sort of a takeoff on a sadder kind of song, and sort of shows the other side of fire, the good side, the Chanukah light side. My Yiddish is kind of rusty. Just enjoy the song. Enjoy the difference of its flavor. It's not your typical dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, and it's not even your typical Ma'oz Tzur.
Say no to the שאנו מעתיקים מדי היבגנך חייל הניסים חייבים מונס ונעמוד שיסיס עליו עשינו תודה אין פעול גזרות
Okay, let's talk a little practical stuff for Shabbat so that people know what's going on. I kept talking about the three Torah Shabbat. We are talking about reading Parshat HaShavua in one Torah, and that goes first because there is a general rule, with exceptions, but a general rule called Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. When there is something, two mitzvot or more, to do at the same time. We generally do the more frequent mitzvah first. So we have Torah reading. Parshat HaShavua, that's an every week thing, it goes first. Second Torah, Rosh Chodesh, because that's 12, or let's say 11 times a year. And then Chanukah, which is one time a year, eight nights, whatever, I don't know how you count them, but certainly in the pecking order of Tadir, frequent, Vishaina Tadir, less frequent, Tadir Kodem, the more frequent, goes first. Parshat Miketz then is read in the first Torah, and we read for only six people rather than the usual seven, and therefore we combine Shishi and Shavii, the sixth and seventh aliyah, into one large shishi, sixth aliyah. Then Hagbah Galila, the Torah scroll is rolled up and put away, not put away, but covered and dressed, we'll say. And then the second Sefer Torah is taken, and we call the seventh person to Shavii for the portion of Rosh Chodesh. We precede that with the two verses about Shabbat's Korban Musaf, because they are continuous. In other words, Shabbat Rosh Chodesh being continuous verses in Parshat Pinchas, Bamidbar, the book of Numbers, chapter 28. Therefore, on Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, we read as a maftir usually, but this time as Shvi'i, the seventh aliyah, we read the Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh Musaf portion. Then this Torah is also lifted and rolled closed and dressed. That follows Chatzi Kaddish, with the second Torah just having been read and the third one placed on the table together. and after that the Hagba Galila of the Second Torah, and then we call the Maftir to read for him the portion from chapter 7 in Bamidbar, the end of Naso, the longest chapter in all of Torah, 89 psukim, and we read the 6 verses of the gift of the Nasi of the 6th day of dedication of the Mishkan, and that corresponds to the 6th day of Chanukah, which means dedication. And there are your 3 readings: Parshat HaShavua, Rosh Chodesh, and Chanukah. Haftarah, the reading from the prophets from Zechariah, follows the Chanukah theme, and in that Haftarah you have the description of a menorah in a prophetic vision with olive trees feeding the oil into the lamps of the menorah, the emblem of the state of Israel, which is a menorah flanked by 2 olive branches, is basically from that prophecy, that image, and the message at the end of the Haftarah, I'm skipping all the way to there, is a message that certainly applies today in all times to Jewish leadership, and it's something that they should always keep in mind. Zed Devar Hashem El Zerubbabel Lemor. This was the word of God at the time to Zerubbabel. Lo v'chayil v'lo v'koach. V'choach. Not with military might or strength. Ki im beruchi amar Hashem Tzvakot. It is only with God's spirit. This does not mean that a country shouldn't have an army, a well-trained army, a superior army, which, thank God, we have. But it means that one should not rely on military strength, use military strength guided by the Spirit of God, and that's the formula for success. Let me jump to another topic now. The topic is brachot, the brachot that we say when we light candles, more specifically on the first night, the Shehechyanu bracha, and I would like you to hear a clip of that from Hooked on Chanukah. I took it out of a medley of other songs, but at least that'll focus us on the bracha of Shehechyanu, and I would like to make a comment and an observation which, surprise, surprise, although I'm never surprised, I never thought of before. It's a bracha that we say so often in the course of a year. Think of the holidays that we say it on at Kiddush. Think of the mitzvot that we say Shehechyanu with, and new fruit, and various and sundry other things. But this hit me for the first time a moment ago when I was listening to this song. So first you hear the song, and then I'll make my observation. Okay, a flash of nostalgia just hit me when I was listening. My train of thought went this way. Here are 2 different melodies for the bracha of Shehechyanu. There's an older, famous one, I'm not going to try to sing it, that I remember fondly from my high school days in BTA, Yeshiva University High School of Brooklyn, which no longer exists. We had a Chanukah Chagiga, and invariably the Glee Club would sing, among other things, Shehechiyonu. In any event, back to my observation. As I was listening to Shehechiyonu before, I realized, aside from the main definitions and guidelines for the bracha, and I'm not going to get into that now, just one additional thing that bracha carries. First night of Chanukah, you make the bracha for the mitzvah. Asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahadlik ner Chanukah, or lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, or lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, as the case may be. That is a standard thing to do, that before performance of a mitzvah, many mitzvot, not all, we recite a bracha, acknowledging God for sanctifying us with his mitzvot, and commanding us to do X, Y, or Z, in this case, light the Chanukah candles. Then, we say another bracha, She'osa nisim la'avotenu b'yamim hohem b'zman hazeh, which has, according to some, the connotation of acknowledging God's miracles in that period of time, meaning the victory of the Chashmonaim over the Yevanim in the various battles, the military victory, and Bizman Hazeh, in this time, meaning 25th of Kislev, the miracle of the oil. Or it can have different interpretations, not relevant now. But you have the bracha for the mitzvah, the bracha acknowledging that the mitzvah commemorates miracles that happened. And then we add, only once on Chanukah, we add, but it really carries through all the way, we add another bracha. And that bracha says, I am thrilled and delighted to be part of it. That's what Shehechiyonu says. God, here's a mitzvah I'm about to do. Thank you for the miracles you performed for my ancestors, and I am thrilled to be a Jew participating in this mitzvah and being part of this heritage. That is no small thing. Listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Chanukah 5766. And you're listening on www.israelnationalradio.com or www.ouradio.org. While I was recording, I had a visit from the children with their mother of a guy that used to work in the center a long, long time ago, Robert Klein. And I had an opportunity to chat a little with the two older boys and even ask them to sing a Chanukah song for us. So you will hear, not with full orchestral accompaniment, but you will hear a Chanukah song and a half and another joint effort on the part of the boys. And even though you don't know them personally, I would recommend closing your eyes and imagining your own children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren and shep a little nachas.
God katan, God katan, shmona yamim shomno natan. God katan, God katan, shmona yamim shomno natan. Kol ha'am az yitkanes, ve'yichizach zehu nes.
And then I asked him his name, and he said,
my name is Dov. מרדכי דב יצחק קליין הכהן.
Then I asked his brother for a song, and this is what I got.
סביבון סוף 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 חנוכה הוא חג טוב חנוכה הוא חג טוב סביבון סוף סוף סוף.
And then I asked for a duet or a duo, and this is what they sang.
קטן קד קטן שמונה ימים שם לא נתן
קד קטן
קד קטן שונה ימים שם לא נתן כל העם אז התכנס והכריז זהו נס אילו לקד זה נשבר מקדשנו לא הואר.
Thus sang the Klein boys. Let me get back to the topic we were talking about before about Shachianu, and even though we've passed the Shachianu for this Hanukkah, let me add like a mushel to express how I feel. I must say again, I've said Shachianu hundreds and hundreds of times, countless times, and I'm not really sure if it ever hit me like this particular idea. Yes, of course I know that Shachianu is a joyous bracha, an expression of joy. And I know it's a personal expression, but I just don't know if I made the connection in the sequence of brachot. Because Shachianu, as far as chagim, holidays, and mitzvot, is not said on its own. It most often accompanies a bracha, and I'm not sure if I made that connection. At least I'm more conscious of it now, not when I said it, but when I heard the song. And I just wanted to share it. It's sort of like bubbling inside of me. The analogy that came to my mind is being invited to a 50th anniversary party of somebody. And you go. Now, if you're going through the motions, you're invited, it's a social obligation, and you go to the 50th anniversary, that's one thing. You say Mazel Tov on your 50th anniversary, and you listen to the accomplishments and whatever stories the people have, but it does not become your simcha unless you make it so. Unless you go to the couple and say, Mazel Tov on your 50th anniversary, and I want you to know that I am thrilled to be here at the party celebrating that, because I like you both very much, or I appreciate what you do, or it's just a very nice thing to be. Many times you don't feel that way. And when you do, I believe in an analogy way, this is what Shechionu v'kimonu v'gionu l'asman hazeh means to add to the brachot. Yes, I'm doing the mitzvah of Hanukkah candles. Yes, I'm acknowledging that there were miracles that occurred, but I also want you to know, God, that I personally am thrilled and delighted to have reached this point and to be part of Hanukkah. It's the Shechianu that makes you part of it. The other two brachot are kind of external, and the Shechianu is what personalizes it, what makes it internal. There's a famous question, a popular question that people like to ask and answer at Hanukkah time. It's an old formula. I heard it called the question of the Beit Yosef, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. But in the same place that I saw that that's what it's called, there were references much earlier than the Shulchan Aruch to that question's existence, and therefore don't know who started the question. The question could be posed in different ways, but I'd like to elaborate on it like this. Military victory of the Hashmonaim, recognition that those victories were with the hand and help of God, causes us to celebrate. If it caused our sages to fix a holiday, that holiday would probably have been one day, as they did with Purim. And as it seems reasonable that when you have something to celebrate, you celebrate it with a day, the anniversary of the event. Therefore, the fact that Hanukkah is an 8-day holiday is generally assumed to be a result of the follow-up miracle, the miracle of the oil, the finding of the oil, which was a miracle in itself, and its lasting miraculously for 8 days when there was really only enough oil, maybe, to last one night. I say maybe because there are sources that say the story as originally told is, and they found a quantity of oil that wasn't even enough for one night. That's different from they found a one-day supply and it miraculously lasted for 8 days. We'll see if we get to that distinction. Be that as it may, it seems that the eight-day aspect of the mitzvah, more than just a day, was added because of the oil. And yet, that's kind of not complete in my opinion, but we'll get there in a moment. But first is the question. Okay, so the story goes, a one-day supply lasted for 8 days, hence 7 days of miracle. Why was the holiday established at 8 days? That's the question. And there are many, many answers. There are whole books devoted to that question, to answers, and then to untying some of the answers and ruling them out and favoring other answers and on and on and on through a hefty piece of the chain of tradition. And people to this day are still striving to get another insight, another little kvetch, a little twist that will add their answer to the bulk and body of the answers to that question. Now, the different version of the story, which I just mentioned before, is one of the answers. They said it's an eight-day holiday because there wasn't even enough oil to last for one day, and that oil miraculously lasted for 8 days. There are many, many other answers. Maybe we'll have time to discuss a few, and maybe not. But I want to say something before that. I have thought about this a lot. I read the books. I read the different answers suggested, and I spent a lot of time thinking about it. And I am convinced that there's a more basic question that must be addressed first. Not if we have 7 days of miracle, why did we have an eight-day holiday? Who says that we have to commemorate any miracle by the number of days the miracle operated? You want to call it a seven-day miracle, you want to call it an eight-day miracle, that by itself does not compel the sages to say, okay, let's have a miracle, let's have a holiday that commemorates the miracle for the same number of days that the miracle occurred. It doesn't have to be like that. In which case, the question becomes, why did our sages fix an eight-day holiday? And what I'm saying to strengthen that is something that we sing in Ma'oz Tzur, where we refer to B'nei Vina, men with deep understanding. B'nei Vina, Yemei Shmona, they fixed Kav Ushir Urananim, they fixed the celebration at 8 days, and we call them B'nei Vina. Now you don't need B'nei Vina, wise, deep understanding people, to say, 8 day miracle, 8 day holiday. That's a simple kind of thing. You have something much, much deeper than that to call the people who set the holiday at 8 days, B'nei Vina, more. If the original command was to light a candle each night for 8 nights, where you'd have one candle the first night, one the second night, one the third night, etc., etc., one the eighth night, and later generation of sages said, we want a more sophisticated way of doing this mitzvah by lighting one the first night, two the second night, three the third night, which of course is what we do and we know, and Beit Shammai's opinion, different from Beit Hillel, was to start 8-7-6, 5-4-3-2-1 for his reasons. And whichever of those is chosen, which means Beit Hillel, because we don't have that choice anymore, the halacha is fixed like that, the question is, why did they, what did they add? What's the difference between lighting one the first night, one the second night, one for each night of 8 nights? There are still 8 days of the holiday. But when you light them in such a way that each night is focusing on number 8. There's your Chanukiah. There are 8 spaces for candles. The second night, you have 2 of them lit. There are 6 more that are not lit. On the fourth night, there are 4 lit and 4 unlit. That conveys a certain point more than just having one and then another and another and another for a total of 8 days. You do that for a total of 8 days, the number 8 does not stick you in the face. You do it the way we do it, and the number very much sticks you in the face, and I believe that's what it's supposed to do. So the question is, why did these B'nai Vina, Kavu Shmona, why did they fix the holiday Dafka at 8 days? And don't tell me the oil, because that's not enough to explain it. Before I share with you what I feel, or what I think, let me just add a little halachic tidbit that I saw in the Sefer Mitzvat Ner Ishu Veito in a footnote, I think it was a footnote, by Rav Eliyahu Schlesinger, the Rav Shechuna of Gilo, where he writes, those who light in oil cups in one of those outdoor aquarium many times tend to put out however many oil cups they need for the particular night. And sure enough, as I was on my way into the Israel Center today, I passed by one of those aquarium, and there were 4 pretty cups with the residue of whatever wicks and oil from last night, and no doubt tonight a 5th one is going to be added. According to Rav Schlesinger, that's not exactly the way it should be. What you should have, if you don't have a Chanukiah, is set up all 8 oil cups and light however many are supposed to be lit per day, which means tonight, Thursday night during Hanukkah, it's not 5 candles or 5 lamps. It's 5 out of the 8. You're lighting the 5th candle. 5th. Not 5, but 5th. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 there also, but the emphasis is on the 5th out of 8. 5 out of 8. Which means the message is there are 8 days to Hanukkah. Not 7 and not 9, but specifically 8. And as I say, I said before, and I'll say it again, it's not just because of the duration of the miracle, or, unless you want to look at it this way, that's why there was an 8-day miracle, and not a 7-day miracle, and not a 9-day miracle. And the answer is not, because that's how much time they needed for new oil, either the 7 days of purifying themselves with the potion from the Paraduma, and one day to press new oil, or a travel distance to places where they got olives for the oil. That's part of the story. The focus is, men of deep understanding said, this holiday can't be a single day, and can't be 7 days. It has to be 8, not 12 to correspond to the dedication of the Mishkan the first time around, but specifically 8. Because 8 is the message of Hanukkah. 8 is our symbol of the victory over the Hellenists. Victory over the Yevanim and the Mityavnim. The Yevanim said, nature is perfect. And the Jewish people do a terrible thing, an abomination. They mutilate their bodies by circumcising their children. That is an abomination, to which we say, you got it wrong, you're missing something. God created a beautiful, magnificent world of nature, but it is incomplete. Purposely, the human being, the Jew, but the human being as well, is charged with taking into his own hands the perfection of a less than perfect world that God gave us for starters. The symbol of that is the mitzvah of Mila. Mila, if you remember, was the 8th mitzvah in the world, preceded by what we refer to as Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, the 7 Noahide laws. the symbol there, seven, are these are the reasonable, normal, natural world, laws of the world. That you don't murder somebody else, and that hopefully he won't murder you, is part of the way the world is able to function on a natural level. The challenge is to go above nature, beyond nature, into the realm of spiritual growth and aspiration. This is symbolized by the mitzvah of Mila, as our sources say, just as we are commanded to complete our physical form, thereby acknowledging that it wasn't perfect until we do the completion of that, so too our spiritual life and our spiritual world and our neshama needs a completion by our effort to perfect it, to reach higher in levels of sanctity. So we say to the Greeks of the world, thank you, but no thank you for your body is beautiful and nature is beautiful and nature is perfect. We say 7-day creation by God, 6 days, and the seventh is sort of a act of creation as well, and we are charged to go beyond that. The symbol of that is the number 8, Brit Mila, on the 8th day, the 8th mitzvah, and one of those mitzvot that the Greeks said the Jews shall not practice that abomination under pain of death. And our victory over the Hashmonaim was a victory for Brit Milah, and it was a victory for the concept of Brit Milah, which defines the clash between the Greek culture and Torah. So you want to put it like this? God helped us remember the significance of 8 by having an 8-day miracle. B'nei vina yemei shmona kavu shir urnanim. Our chazal, our sages, were the ones who said, hey, good point. It's significant that it's dafka 8 days, and we will perpetuate that, first and foremost, by an 8-day holiday, and secondly, by fine-tuning the way we observe so that the number 8 is focused on. And what do we call the 8th day of Chanukah? Zot Chanukah. This coming Sunday night and Monday, the last day of Chanukah. It's not the last day of Chanukah. It's the 8th day of Chanukah. And when we call it Zot Chanukah, this is Chanukah. Yes, the name is borrowed from the Torah reading, which says Zot Chanukat HaMizbeach. And that's what we happen to read on the 8th day of Chanukah, but it's not really the 8th, it's really after the 12 days of dedication. In the summary, not the point. When we call it Zot Chanukah, we answer the question, do you want to know what the essence of Chanukah is, the real significance? This is it. That it's an 8-day holiday, that there is an 8th day, that every day leading up to that 8th day has a Chanukiah partially filled, and it needs that completion in the form of a full Chanukiah. You look at a Chanukiah on the 5th night, 6th night, 7th night, not the same as when you've got every single candle lit and every single oil cup burning. One more little tidbit that ties in what I said before about the oil cups goes specifically for this Shabbat. What a lot of people do when they realize that Chanukiah only holds smallish candles and it's not enough when you light on Friday, since the lighting has to be earlier and therefore the candles have to burn longer, they abandon their Chanukiah, so to speak, and many people take a strip of aluminum foil, put it on the windowsill, and it's very convenient to use these little tea lights, those discs of candles, in the little metal housing, which they line up and light as is necessary. This Shabbat is the 6th candle, which means you put on 6, but it is highly recommended that you add another 2 that you will not light, so that what you have lined up on your windowsill, even though you're not using a Chanukiah, is a sequence of 8 candles, 6 of which you will light, the shamash you should put a little bit off to the side so it does not lose the message of the number. That number is very significant, and the number represents that step beyond nature, which the Greeks were opposed to, so to speak, and which Torah represents. When did we get to the Torah? We got to the Torah on the day following 7 days, 7 weeks of 7 days each, the 50th day, Shavuot, Zman Matan Toratenu. When do we celebrate the Torah? After 7 natural days of Sukkot, living with the elements of nature under a temporary roof of Schach, which grows in nature, using the Arba Minim, the Lulav Etrog Hadassin and Aravot, and on the 8th day, we celebrate Simchat Torah. We celebrate the relationship that God has with Bnei Yisrael and we with Him. And that's significantly 8. That's the message of Chanukah as well. Which does not leave us a lot of time for more stuff, especially since I would like you to listen to a song now, not a Chanukah song, but a Ya'alev Yavo song, appropriate for Rosh Chodesh, which is Shabbat and Sunday, 2 days Rosh Chodesh coming up, and here is Ya'alev Yavo from an album by Yotam Segel. Ya'alev Yavo. Hope you enjoy and relate to Rosh Chodesh.
Oh,
Speaking of Rosh Chodesh, I've said already several times, we've got Shabbat, we have Rosh Chodesh, and we have Chanukah. Let's see what that means, because it's all rolled into one day, and it becomes a very, very powerful day, a very potent day. Shabbat represents creation of the world and sanctity of time. God rested on Shabbat, sanctified the Shabbat day. Then he turns to us, the people of Israel, and he said, I want you to treat the day that I sanctified with sanctity, but I want more from you. I want you to sanctify time as well. And that is HaChodesh HaZelochem Rosh Chodeshim, the concept of hour by the act of Sanhedrin sanctifying each month. The first of the month is Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, Shabbat and the 7 days of the week, the 7 days of creation, become partners of sorts, or best friends, with the cycle of the holidays symbolized by Rosh Chodesh. Together, they represent the cycle of time and the sanctity of time, both on God's part and at His instructions on our part. We sanctify time. Combine that with the commemoration of miracles that go beyond the sanctity of the specific cycles. Remember, we're talking about Me'al Lateva, above nature. And you're talking about a day that combines just about everything. You've got the regular days of the week and Shabbat. You have the cycle of the calendar with every Rosh Chodesh, the natural turning of the earth on its axis, represented by sunrise, sunset. You have the earth and moon going around the sun, and you have the moon going around the earth, producing the months and the seasons. And with Chanukah, you have a representation of the fact that God is not bound by the laws of nature that He created, but goes beyond that in, occasionally, the performance of miracles. So, everything is together and symbolized by this rare, not that rare, but special Shabbat, the three Torah Shabbat, the three Kugel Shabbat, where we combine the sanctity of Shabbat and the sanctity of Rosh Chodesh, which means the whole Jewish calendar, and the commemoration of God's miracles and our acknowledgement that He is the whole thing. He created this world. He created the laws of nature. He created the natural cycles that we follow. And He created the miracles by which we realize there's more to this world than just the physical aspect. Potent day, powerful day. Use it well. Talk it over with your families and friends. And have a wonderful Shabbat, a Chodesh Tov, Chanukah Sameach, and Lehishtameach.
Do ye Hashem Yeshuva? Yeshua, the Lord, see, I'm beginning.